Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to hour number two of our broadcast, our Tuesday night broadcast. Great to have you with me. Great to have Don Rosen with me right now. Frank Anderson will be along at 8:20 to discuss celebrities from Wisconsin and a little bit of Wisconsin weird that you can find at wisconsinology.com. Right now we have a few more minutes with Don Rosen, who always has great celebrity stories. And Don, we kind of went up against the break. I miscalculated the time. I apologize, but you were right. You were just telling us about how you almost killed one of the most beloved actors in movie history.
Well, yeah, and just to recap, we were taking a ride to the stars' homes in Beverly Hills on Roxbury Drive, and this woman crossed the street with her dog, and then the guy tries to follow, so I stop, and he waves me on, and he walks into the street, and I jam on the brakes, and so the guy sitting next to me says, "Just let him go." I said, "He's waving me on," and he keeps stepping into the street, and finally I yelled out the window, and my friend next to me said, "Don't you say a word to him." And I said, "Mr. Stewart, please go." And he gave me a little salute and he walked across the street. And so the guy in the back seat said, "If you would have killed him and run over him, it would have been world headlines. Idiot from Milwaukee kills national icon."
It would have been curtains. It would have been curtains for you, Rosen. That's great.
That would have been the end. But it, you know, it was, he kept stepping into the street.
Yeah.
He waved me on. And he's an old guy at the time. I mean, I didn't know what he was going to do.
I can picture
and
that
woman
awkward.
Who was trying to keep...
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Don.
Well, he was trying to keep up with his wife already across the street with the dog. So anyway, you know what I'm thinking? Next time I go to Taco Bell and they order a burrito, I'm going to ask and see what they do. Can I have some extra Chwaba sauce with that, please?
Do it.
And see what their response is.
They'll know.
Now, could you put some extra... Yeah. Do you have packets of Chwaba sauce?
There was a
see what they say.
There was a comedian called John Rigi from Chicago who went out and eventually became an executive producer on all these shows, including the Larry Sanders Show, which is one of my favorite shows. But he used to say he thought my full name sounded like a dessert, Peach Chwaba, like Peach Chwaba. Oh, you have fresh Peach Chwaba tonight. I've heard so many different things. One of my celebrity stories, Don, is speaking of the Larry Sanders Show, I was at Century City to see a movie, and I go into the restroom, and I'm at a urinal next to Jeffrey Tambor, who played Hank Kingsley.
Oh,
yeah. And his catchphrase on the Larry Sanders Show, he played like the Ed McMahon character, was, "Hey now."
Yeah.
And it took every fiber of my being not to say "Hey now" while I was standing next to him using the urinal. It was very difficult not to say that.
You know, when people are at the urinal, I think there should be like an invisible wall where you can't talk to them, discuss anything with them, just ignore them. Don't look at them, for one thing.
Yeah.
Don't examine. Don't
and don't smile. And yeah, just celebrity or not, just keep your thoughts to yourself. Here's another one. So you remember Steve Landberger? You know who that is? He was on Barney Miller. Yeah. A very funny stand-up comedian, too. He used to do this great joke about where do accents come from? Like, did people just come over from England and land in North Carolina and go, "Here we are, North Carolina"? it was a great joke, but he was a very funny guy, very dry on Barney Miller, which was a great show. I was in front of him in the checkout aisle at a Ralph's grocery store in L.A., and we had a quick, you know, the guy in front of us had coupons like to the point where he was expecting them to owe him money by the time he left. And Landisberger and I shared this look like we just kind of rolled our eyes. I'm like, "Oh, that's kind of cool. I just shared a moment with Steve Landisberger." And he actually said something and I smiled, chuckled, whatever. Less than a week later, I'm at the mall and he and I are both waiting for our wives outside a store. And I said, "You know, I just saw you at Ralph's the other night." And he said, "Oh yeah, that guy with the coupons." And I said, "Yeah." And I thought, wow, is this how friendships start? Like, we're both waiting for our wives. We had already met. Like, could I be friends with a celebrity because we shared this moment in the checkout line and now we're both waiting for our wives? But it would have been way too forced.
This is how stalking starts.
I guarantee you, Steve Landisberg did not have stalkers. Yeah.
You were the stalker.
No, I know, but I'm sorry. He probably would have been thrilled because he does not have a guy like that.
That's right.
Does not have stalkers. He probably would have been happy. He probably would have paid me to get him back in the tabloids. I also was at a sandwich shop, and Britney Spears sat two tables away with her two humongous bodyguards. That was kind of fun because my parents were in town, and I got this. I said, "Hey, that's Britney Spears over there," and she was just at the. She had just broken. You know, and was huge now. So the point where my parents, who at the time were probably in their late 50s or 60s, knew who she was. It was kind of fun.
That is. That's a bit. My dad came back one day and he came back from work. He worked at the drove around Manhattan all day. And he said, "I saw Sonny and Cher today." I said, "What do you mean you saw Sonny and Cher?" He said, "Yeah, he was walking about 10 paces ahead of her, but it was Sonny and Cher." But he used to see people all the time in New York.
Yeah,
that's where they are. He saw Jacqueline Kennedy once in New York. She was standing on a corner, ready to cross the street. My cousin had a great sighting. He's James Rosen. He used to work for Fox. Now he works for Newsmax. And he was in Washington, getting out late. And there's this guy, older man, trying to cross the street, and he recognizes him. It's Muhammad Ali.
And he says,
"Hey, champ. You need some help crossing the street?" He goes, "Yes, would you help me?" And he gets him across the street, and he says, "Champ, you want me to take you anyplace else?" He goes, "No, I'm good."
Wow.
And that was he just happened to see him there.
That's a great one.
Recognize him as Muhammad Ali. That's a big one.
That is a real, he was the biggest star in the world at one point. Entertainment, sports, whatever. We're name dropping here with Don Rosen. It's fun. Join us and tell us what your favorite celebrity sighting is or encounter, whatever you want to call it. You can let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or drop us a text on the app. If you haven't downloaded it, you should. It's very easy to use. We're on statewide, so you just click on any one of the stations and hit the text icon. We'd love to hear your story. Did I tell you my Chevy Chase story, Don?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Okay, so... I had sold a script like in 1999, my writing partner and I, we had about 6 months where we were in a lot of rooms writers would kill to be in. And I was going to a meeting at the Zucker Brothers company, a couple of Wisconsin guys, they did Airplane and Naked Gun. And,
Wife, exactly.
So I'm riding up in the elevator and Chevy Chase gets on the elevator and I'm like, it's just the two of us. And it's the slowest elevator in the world. And it's only going up like three floors. And, you know, I've heard all kinds of stories about him, how he can be difficult. He could be a jerk. And I thought, you know, I love Fletch so much. I like Seems Like Old Times, Foul Play, all these Chevy Chase movies. So I said something to him. I can't remember what it was. And he just nodded. And I stood there and I'm like, well, that didn't go that well. So I tried to rally and I said, "Was that okay? That's better than I love your work, right?" And he said, "Yeah, you could have said you loved me. That would have really freaked me out." And I kind of laughed. And then I said, "Well, I do." He laughed, so I got to make Chevy Chase laugh. So that was kind of a fun one.
Do you know he was a drummer in a band with Donald Fagen and Walter Becker at one time? He was a drummer,
And tell them what that band became.
Oh, it's not Steeler's Wheel. It's
Steely Dan.
Steely Dan. I got Steeler's Wheel. I had Steeler's Wheel stuck in my head. Steely Dan, but he played with them before there was Steeler's Wheel. Do you remember when he did this late night show on TV?
Yes.
Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
That was the most painful,
horrible
premiere to ever watch.
Yeah.
Remember, he was shaking. His hands were shaking. His voice was quivering. I think he only lasted four nights.
He did. And you know what? I thought he was going to be good. I'm like, he's quick. He can think on his feet. I thought, you know, I really thought he was going to do well at that. And wow, was I wrong? Like, you're right. I don't even think he lasted a week. It's like he and Magic Johnson hold the record.
Nights, that was it.
Yeah. That's crazy. Hey, are you watching anything fun right now, Don? You binge watching anything or seen any summer blockbusters you can share with us?
No, I didn't see any movies yet. We just went to, here's a little movie thing we did. We went to a Shaba
Minnesota over the weekend. You know where that is?
No.
It's by the Great River Road near Rochester, where the Mayo Clinic is. They filmed a movie there. The whole movie was filmed Grumpy Old Men with Jack Lemmon, oh, yeah, Walter Matthau, and Anne Margaret.
Nice.
So there's a restaurant that Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon eat at. It's called Sneezy's or Sleazy's. Or something.
I hope it's not called Sneezy's.
No. So Walter Matthau in the movie is standing outside the sign, and I recreated that scene. My wife took a picture of me just in that same exact spot so I could post Walter Matthau sitting there, and I was standing there.
That's
the name
great
of the place. It's not Sleazy's. I know that. Sleepy's, I think it's called Sleepy's.
Sleepy's is better. Yeah, that's a good name.
Yeah, it was like a restaurant called Sleazy's.
Right, or Sneezy's. Sneezy's would almost be worse. I'd rather eat with sleazy people than people sneezing all the time, you know. I got one more question for you, Don, before we let you go. Last night, we asked listeners, who was your favorite Brat Pack member and who was your least favorite? In light of the documentary that's on Hulu by Andrew McCarthy, I'm sure you remember the Brat Pack. Can you answer that question? Favorite and least favorite?
Okay, well, my pastor at my church, he went to North Hollywood High School growing up.
Oh.
And one of the people in his class, all his classes, was Molly Ringwald.
Ah.
And he said he went to school with a lot of famous people, but she's the one who was in his classes all the time.
Wow.
And so I think Molly Ringwald, I like her in those movies.
Did she go to North Hollywood High School?
Yeah.
No kid. That's, if we had stayed there, that's maybe where my son would have gone if we couldn't afford private. You know, that's actually kind of a good school in a weird way. I had no idea she went there. We lived three blocks from there.
But Daddy, I don't want to go to that school. You're going to that school. The stars go there. But Daddy, I don't want. You're going there.
Molly Ringwald. We got a lot of votes for her last night. She was very popular. She's one of the more likable ones. I say. Do you have a? We got to run. But do you have least favorite?
Okay. No, I don't have a least favorite. I thought Judd Nelson was good in The Breakfast Club.
Okay.
I liked him in that film. But yeah, I don't have a least favorite. No.
You're too positive a guy for that.
They're all good.
Don, thanks so much for your time, buddy. This was always fun talking to you, man.
Okay, man.
Yeah, you're going to shout Pete Schwab at that parade, I hope, right?
Well, I'm going to scream Pete Schwab when they put the camera on me.
Just shout it. Just shout it all the time. All right. That's Don Rosen. Check out his show on the WRJN radio station here at Civic Media. When we come back, Frank Thomas joins us from WisconsinOlogy.com. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Within your readers who can sway. Right now, tomorrow's looking bright. Just like the sun. Love. I get so lost sometimes. Please. Welcome back. Bridget says, I saw Valerie Bertinelli and her son Wolfgang at the grocery store. She looked like any other mom, tired, overweight, hair tied up, sweats, and loving, like any other mom in the world. That's a great one, Bridget. We are asking people tonight to share your celebrity sightings or encounters, back and forth, what have you, whatever it is. You're welcome to share that with us. We just had a fun talk with Don Rosen, and we even have pictures from some listeners who took pictures of celebrities dining. So share your experience, and we'll read it on the radio. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And now, this is exciting, folks. Another Nightlight frequent flyer is about to join us. If you have not checked out Wisconsinology.com, you simply have to. It's a really wonderful website if you live in Wisconsin. And even if you don't, he's also a very accomplished musician and filmmaker. Frank Anderson joins us now in Nightlight. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Pete, how are you?
I was expecting you to sound really tired when you joined me because I've been trying to have you on the show for a few weeks, and you've been swamped. And what are you working on? Is it exciting stuff, or is it just stuff to pay the bills, or what?
Yeah, but both.
Okay.
And I don't know who's going to... Okay, I'll tell you. I'll spill some of the beans.
Okay.
I have a lot of projects, but one that you might get a laugh at is... I'm stop-motion animating Gallagher talking, the comedian Gallagher.
Oh, wow.
Talking to Pauly Shore, you know, Mr. C-List himself. extended conversation. They don't have any a video of the actual conversation. So I'm creating it in stop motion. It's for a documentary that a lot of really big comedians are a part of, and people like Dave Letterman and et cetera,
wow.
et cetera. That's one project I'm working on.
Well, that's really cool, Frank. Pauly Shore, you know, has ties to Wisconsin. We can talk about that, too.
Oh, can I ever? I'd love to talk to him. I'm sorry, I called him Mr. C-List. I mean, I'm Mr. F-minus list, so I have nothing to talk about.
I'm not even on
list. I'm actually beyond the fringe, on the fringe of the fringe.
The only list I'm on, Frank, somehow, is I still get church envelopes for the collection every week. Other than that, I'm on no lists.
Oh, my. Well, Pauly Shore, Mitzi Shore, and his father from Milwaukee.
Howard Shore, yeah.
Of course, is the mother of all L.A. comics, right? I mean, isn't she the den mom of the entire L.A. comic scene? Once again, a Wisconsinite going out there and being the very best at what they do, or starting something brand new.
Conquering Hollywood, yeah. She went to high school, I think, in Green Bay, but she lived in Marinette and Menominee for years. And sadly left. I think they left because they were Jewish. Now, Marinette had a number of synagogues and or temples back in the day, a surprising amount. I had no idea that many Jewish people lived there, but I don't think their experience was pleasant there, as another friend of mine told me. But yeah, she grew up in that area, then went to Green Bay, and then, as you know, went to UW-Madison and blessed us with Pauly Shore.
Yes, she did. And and all the other comedians, every other.
Yeah.
Of note.
She got the, I understand she got the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard in the divorce with Howard Shore.
What was his name? This wasn't Howard Shore, was it? No, Howard Shore is the composer.
Oh, really? Mitzi Shore.
I can't think of his name.
Let's Google on the radio.
Yeah, Google on the radio right now. It's a punchy comedian's name.
Yeah.
Howard Shore led the SNL band and scored Lord of the Rings trilogy and Ed Wood, among many other motion pictures.
Sammy. Sammy Shore.
Sammy, of course. Sammy Shore.
Yes. Yes. Why did I think it was Howard? Howard's a good show business name, too, though.
Well, that's
okay.
Howard's a great... Howard's one of my favorite composers.
So there you go. But what was the other project you were going to say you were working on, Frank? I didn't mean to steer you away from that.
Oh, the other one is one I had written, and I still can't talk about
it. Oh, okay.
October 11th. All right. I'm free from my... What? I might be free from everything. October 11th. But... you'll be the first to know.
Pete, you need a co-host?
Oh, that'd be fun.
That would be fun, Frank.
Oh, we're on celebrities, right? Celebrities.
Yeah. And before, let me add one more thing, Frank. Sorry. I just pulled, because I pulled that up when I found out Sammy Shore, and it says right on Wikipedia, Mitzi Shore, born July 25th, 1930, Marinette, Wisconsin. So there you go.
Great.
Yeah.
That's the kind of factoids I love.
Me too. She is a Wisconsin love letter.
Everyone knows Mitzi Shore. Everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Legend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that many people know Sammy Shore.
No. So we have a fair amount of celebrities from Wisconsin. We've had great celebrity sightings here. There have been some good movies.
Have you talked about the Brat Pack?
Extensively. Last night, that was our question. Who are your least and most favorite members of the Brat Pack? And we've talked about the, unless you're saying, you're making a play on words.
Yes. Oh. The Brat Pack. Not the Brat Pack.
Okay, no.
The Brat Pack.
You're talking about the Johnsonville family?
Are, of course, the hardest working character actors in show business, period. Willem Dafoe, Tony Shalhoub from Green Bay. And Mark Ruffalo.
I love that.
And they're the Brat Pack. And Wisconsinology on Facebook saluted them by creating a fake picture of that famous New York magazine cover that said the Brat Pack, but I put Tony, Willem, and Mark into the photo.
I love it. So that's your creation.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it stick.
I love it, Frank. That's great.
And Brat Pack adjacent would be, do you know Mark Rylance?
Oh, I feel like I know that name.
He starred, he's known, also known as the greatest living stage actor in the world.
Really?
He lives in England, but he was raised in Milwaukee, and he has a Wisconsin accent.
No way.
Yes way. They didn't know where he was from when he left Milwaukee, age 19, 20, went back, auditioned in UK for parts, and they had no idea where he was from. So they just wrote down Irish.
So,
but he would be Brat Pack adjacent.
Okay. When mm-hmm. How old is he? Is he still with us, or is this a guy that's passed away? Or?
Mark Rylance is 61, 62, something like that.
Okay.
I don't know exactly, but he graduated in the 70s.
Oh, he's great. 70s. I love this guy. Yeah,
he's huge.
Oh, he's a phenomenal actor. All right, let's pick this up. Let's pick up the talk with I would put him in the Brat Pack, Frank. This guy's got crazy talent.
I'll fix the picture and stick him in.
Just
there.
A recommendation. He'd like it. Listen, it's your website. You do what you want. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
Frank Anderson is here. We'll have more with Frank. We're talking about celebrity homebred Wisconsin celebrities on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. We'll be back with more with Frank Anderson on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabe.
So, Mark Rylance, my guest is Frank Anderson, founder of Wisconsinology.com, who coined the term Brat Pack. And I was making jokes last week about, or a couple weeks ago, Frank, saying when I first saw Bratz, I thought it was a movie about bratwurst, and I was very disappointed when I tuned in. It was about all these actors. So I'm kind of mad at myself. I never thought about the Brat Pack. So tip of my hat.
The Brat Pack.
It's great. But actors from Wisconsin, but Mark Rylance was in a movie I saw called The Outfit. I saw... I think I saw him in The Trial of the Chicago 7, too. He was great, but he's in a film. He plays a tailor in a film called The Outfit about the... It wasn't really about the Chicago mob, factually, but it was set in Chicago and it was a mob movie. He was so good.
He's astonishing. But his main thing is live, being on the stage.
Okay.
And that's where he rightfully, you know, claims a reputation that many have given to him the accolade of our greatest living actor.
Boy, that's something. So he was born overseas and was raised in Milwaukee?
That's right. His okay. father was a teacher at, I believe it was called University School, I'm not sure, a kind of a progressive uppity-up high school
yeah.
where you it's about advancement and preparation. And he was there from age, I believe, 9 to 19.
Hmm.
So... He considers that his home, really.
This guy's great. He just looks like an actor, too. Like, I'm looking at all this. Yeah, 64
well,
years old.
Well, he came to the right place. Wisconsin has the greatest actors in the world come from Wisconsin, period. And when you look at Hollywood in the golden era, they are all from Wisconsin. 19 Academy Awards in just 15 years. It's astonishing.
Really?
You know, Spencer Tracy. Frederick March, Don Ameche.
Oh, Don Ameche.
Orson Welles.
Yeah.
It just doesn't stop.
I always forget about Don Ameche. How long was, do you know how long Gene Wilder was in Wisconsin? He was born in Milwaukee, wasn't he?
Oh, born and raised.
Yeah.
Born and raised.
So, like, till he went off to college.
And I love that last name, too. I mean, it's not his last name, but if helpful hint to young people seeking a career in the arts, change your last name to Wilder. Because we have already Laura Ingalls Wilder and Thornton Wilder.
Billy Wilder.
Both Wisconsinites.
Oh, just from Wisconsin. Oh, nice.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. If you're from Wisconsin,
yeah,
I say, and you're planning on changing your name, Wilder.
So who do you put, of your Brat Pack, Frank, who do you think is the best actor? Those are some heavy hitters. You got Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, real. I don't know what to say. Tony Shalhoub is astonishing, but they've all made, I mean, combined,
yeah,
like 300 movies there. And Tony Shalhoub is more of a stage actor, but
right,
he can do anything, and you've seen him at the Tony Awards countless times.
Yeah.
And Willem Dafoe, he just keeps coming at you, what, 3-4 films a year? And he pops up in the strangest makeup these days.
Yeah, he sure does. He's a guy, so Frank, I think is like recession proof in the sense that his career, that is, he can't,
mm-hmm,
there are so few actors that can make a terrible movie and it won't affect their career. He's just got
not one bit.
Yeah. He's just got a panache or a energy about him, whatever you want to call it, that he is just respected as an actor. And if a movie flops, it's not Willem Dafoe's fault. He's a great actor. Whatever it is, the guy just can do no wrong.
Oh, really? Yeah. He's one of those guys. Oh yeah. Except Willem Dafoe. He was great in that movie.
In which one?
Whatever it was. Any movie, any flop.
Oh, right.
Oh, but Willem Dafoe was great in that movie.
Yeah, for sure. And Mark Ruffalo, when I saw Poor Things, I saw a different side of him. The way Emma Stone's character frustrated him, like sexually, he's this player and he can't get any. She drove him nuts because she has the mind of an infant. His reaction to that was just on another level. He's such a great actor. So those are three of the best names in Hollywood right now.
He's so great. And I was filming a project in New York City many years ago, and I missed, and I kick myself to this day, I missed Tony Shalhoub and Mark Ruffalo in Death of a Salesman.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, that's a Wisconsin 1-2 punch. How did I miss it?
When was that?
Oh, my gosh. That was 2016 or...
So not too far, not too long.
Something like that.
Wow, that's pretty fun. Are there any celebrities from Wisconsin, Frank, that we might not know are from here? Or is there a diamond in the rough, someone we haven't quite, you know, people might not know they were from Wisconsin? I know the girl on...
There's so many. I'm tripping over their names right now. there's just so many. And a lot of them, though, you know, they're from 10 years back. You know,
yeah.
They peaked 10, 20 years back.
Right.
Or in the golden era of Hollywood. Or in the 1950s where they were falling off trees and landing in Hollywood. And you had the most successful entertainer ever up to that point, Liberace, of course.
Right.
But there were so many others around him. And the hardest working character actor in Hollywood would be Jack Carson at that time. You know Jack Carson?
I know the name. I don't know.
You'd know his face in 1 second if you saw
okay.
it. He's another one of those guys that made 4 or 5 films a year, and you can see him any night of the week right now.
Jeez.
But there's Wisconsin celebrities come in all forms. Recently was the Preakness and the Kentucky Derby, and the world's greatest horse trainer, D. Wayne Lucas, the winningest horse trainer in the history of the sport, won another one.
Huh.
And he's, you know, he's getting up there in age, but he's still training winning horses. And he has been doing that for 40, 50 years.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Rachel Brosnahan, yeah, that's who I couldn't think of from The Marvelous Maisel.
Oh, yeah, but she's that weird category I don't count. Heather Graham is too, where they were born here and they left fast.
Yeah, but it's their parents, Frank. Count. They didn't move on their own. They were babies, you know. Their parents. They still got some.
They carry a seed of some kind of Wisconsinness.
A freshwater cheese curd seed, something, you know. That's.
I tend to discard them right away. I'll be kinder in the future.
I want to ask you about another weird connection, because I live in the Marin area, as you know, and there's a town called Pound it's very small, and I want to say it's within a half hour of Marinette. I've been through it before. I didn't know until I saw, I think it was yesterday on Wisconsinology, that lineage or that name descends from a very famous poet. I'll let you tell the story, because I think this is so cool. I had no idea.
Well, it's Ezra Pound's, I'm going to say father or grandfather.
Yeah.
I have not checked that. I wrote it, but I have not checked it in a while. But he is descended from the Pound of Pound, Wisconsin, yes.
So Pound, Wisconsin is named after the famous poet Ezra Pound.
I believe I put that up on one of my famous Wisconsinology cards that are packed with information. The same one that had the science fiction horror short story of the year for 1959 was That Hellbound Train, which takes place between Appleton and Nina, which I'm trying to get someone to build a damn statue and put it right by the railroad tracks here.
Really?
Appleton. Yeah.
That was on my list of things to ask you about. What is the Hellbound? We could use a Hellbound train between Milwaukee and Green Bay. That would really help me out. It doesn't have to be Hellbound, but.
That Hellbound Train is a very popular short story. You find it in anthologies. It was written by Robert Bloch, who lived just west in Wyawega, Wisconsin, and of course wrote Psycho.
Right, right.
And it was the top horror, sci-fi, whatever that category, short story of the year. I forgot the name of the award they give. Hugo, I believe. Yeah, Hugo Award winner for 1959. And it is set between Appleton and Nina.
We've talked about Bloch on this show before. That's a fascinating story. Can you talk a little bit, as we kind of segue into Weird Wisconsin, which I always love talking about with you. There's a creepy photo on Wisconsinology in the weird section called The Land of the Giants. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. That's a famous fake photo. There never were giants ever anywhere. And I've given many lectures to people who sit on their hands and glare at me the whole lecture simply because I said those words. And I always kindly explain to them that this whole thing about giants is biblical and was used in the 1800s by people to subjugate the Native Americans even further.
Oh, wow.
It's a racist tool. It's bullshit. There's never been any giants buried anywhere. And the photo you're referencing...
It's a great photo.
Famous, but it's paper mache. You know? They have a paper mache giant. And I was misled into guesting on a Christian monster finder ghost hunter show, and they wouldn't let go of those damn giants. They wanted me to say, there are giants. And I kept yelling over and over again, no such thing. You have to remember, at that time, Wisconsin was the show capital of the United States, the circus and sideshow capital.
Yeah.
So people would take anything they could make a buck off of, hire a sculptor to do great fake, and take it on the road. And that's what that photo is.
It's a really creepy photo, I will say.
Well done. It's well done. Yes. It's like 1890-something, yeah.
It really is. Why do you think people want to believe in giants? Why are they so steadfast? Like
they want to believe in everything, don't they?
They do. And I'm an open-minded guy, but I don't give me something, you know. I don't want to just believe in something for the sake of believing in something.
Well, they can't give you anything. We're a nation overrun by ghost hunters. We're a nation overrun. I've been to these conferences and, you know, like events, and I can't tell you how many people show up, and they each have their own little camp. You know, there's the fairy people. They believe in fairies. There's that weirdo from West Appleton who, I'm not kidding, who believes in gnomes and claims oh, wow. that there's a family of gnomes living in his car.
Rent free?
Yes. That's
terrible.
In Wisconsin of all, it's impossible, right?
Especially in the winter.
Yeah. And the usual ghost hunters who are, you know, it's nice to have a hobby.
You know, I have friends that are ghost hunters, and they're not believing blind. They just are curious about it. And that I get. I get why you would want to investigate it. But you're right. Go ahead.
Have you had Chad Lewis on your show? He's really good.
No, I have not. Conrad, take a memo.
He's the real deal. You got to have him on your show. He's great. He's a wonderful guy. He's written a lot about, more than anyone, about ghosts and such phenomena.
Very cool.
And he used to start all his talks simply, you know, I haven't seen a ghost yet, but I want to understand what's happening to people out there. You know, is it all in their head? Yeah, What is it?
That's
and
great.
Like Houdini, Houdini, another Wisconsinite said, it's all a trick.
That's so great.
It's a trick.
Hey, Frank, we got to do a quick thing here. When we come back, I want to ask you about Max Jean Knoll. I thought that was kind of cool. Fun little Wisconsin invention.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Frank Anderson is here from Wisconsinology.com, acclaimed filmmaker and musician. We'll have more with Frank. He'll help us close the show down. A few more minutes with Frank. Coming up next, get your text in. Conrad, what was our question? I'm totally spacing.
Celebrity encounters.
I wanted to go Brat Pack again. Yeah, what is your celebrity encounter? Let us know. 855-752-4842. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, I spent all that day fixing up to go somewhere. Thought I was late, and I found she wasn't there.
Welcome back. Wisconsinology.com's Frank Anderson is with us tonight. Tomorrow night on the show, Peter Jest will be here. He's the author of the book. Now I lost my page again. Here we go. We Had Fun and Nobody Died, Adventures of a Milwaukee Music Promoter. Peter will be here tomorrow night. That'll be a fun discussion. Frank, were you a big nightclub guy back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to play in them.
Same. Oh, of course. Right. So would you hang out like after your shows, like you played music? Our show tonight is celebrity sightings, and I would ask you about yours, but I don't feel like working with celebrities is a celebrity sighting. It's more fun when you just see one.
That doesn't count.
Exactly. Have you seen one in Wisconsin that was strange, or when you were in LA that was kind of fun?
I'm going to tell you my favorite ever celebrity sighting.
Love it.
And it has, okay, ready? I'm just going to do it. Ready?
Okay.
The Three Stooges.
Oh, wow. That's a great one. Where did you see them?
Vancouver Airport, age 6.
Holy smoke. Yeah, you must have been, because they like passed away in the 70s
or something. They were the same height as I was.
Seriously.
I'm not kidding. They're real little guys.
Oh, man. That may be the best.
I saw Mo, Larry, and Curly replacement number 4.
Oh, so Curly wasn't there.
Oh, God, no, I'm not that old.
Who? Oh, yeah, okay. So Curly, would that be Curly Joe? Not Shemp was 2, right?
Oh, I love Shemp.
I do.
No, it's the very last. Yeah, Curly Joe.
Okay.
Joe DeRita, he would be the last. That Curly, the movie's Curly.
Okay.
The feature film Curly, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
The one who's in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
You just won the night, buddy. That's a great one.
Okay, I got another one. Can I do another
one? Yeah, of course.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Trini Lopez.
Oh, wait a minute. All right. She sings a version of I just saw this. Here Comes My Baby. No. All right, tell the listeners
if
who
I
she
had
is.
A hammer.
Okay. That's not the song I was thinking of, but yeah.
Lemon Tree.
Lemon Tree. I love her Lemon Tree. Yes. Where did you see her?
He.
He, I'm sorry. Where did you see he? Him. They. Them.
Walking out of a drugstore in Palm Springs, California in 1970. And honestly, his career was, you know, gently settling down into nightclubs. And he'd had its hit songs. And he'd recently appeared in the movie The Dirty Dozen. He's the guy that gets killed.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, he was walking out of a drugstore with a bag and with smiling sunglasses. And he waved and said, hi. And honestly, I was struck, just struck, because I love Trini Lopez.
I have to be, I don't know anything about Trini Lopez, except I like Lemon Tree. I thought it was a woman. I did not know Trini Lopez was a man. I mean, he's a little before my time, but I should have known that.
I'm hitting hardcore obscure here. I know, but
I really
at that,
that
time
was a woman.
You would know who he is. And he had a worldwide number one hit song. So, I mean, that alone is an amazing song.
That's a good one. It's not as good as the Three Stooges, though, but that's a good one.
No.
All right. So I think we have time for one more story here from Wisconsinology. Anything involving underwater, Frank, and the suffix opolis, I've always been fascinated by. So tell us a little bit about Max Noll.
You live in the right state.
Right.
Because not only do we have the woman scuba diver who spread the sport all over the world, we have Max Jean Noll, the inventor of underwater breathing apparatus.
How do you like that?
The holder of the record of the deepest dive in the entire world in 1936 and again later. America's number one salvage diver and the only diver whose portrait is hanging huge behind the bar of a bar in the Caribbean islands. I think Montserrat or something like that.
Okay.
But it's a diver's bar. From all over the world, they go there and they toast Max Jean Noll, the king of all diving.
That is great. And if you get, if you're listening to this right now, go to wisconsinology.com. There are some great photos of the apparatus he used, like to dive. Look, you know, archaic, but the first diving equipment, right?
Yes, self-contained underwater, which is what scuba means, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Yes.
And did he have a...
Invented right here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Did he have a... Was Blatt's his sponsor or something? Because I know it's...
No. He was... Yes. Blatt's and a huge whiskey company, high-end whiskey.
He had
a lot of sponsors. He was a celebrity diver. And
that's so great.
He always was. And his death is shocking.
And what happened?
Involves the telling of a much longer story that we don't have time for.
Okay. Well, let's save that then. Now I'm curious. I'm going to go look it up, but let's save that. We can open with that next time. We'll open with a showstopper, as it were. Frank, thank you so much, buddy, for your time. This is always so much fun.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Don't work too hard, okay?
And get Chad Lewis. He's great.
Yeah, I will. I wrote it down. And Conrad took a memo, so we're off to the races. We will we'll track him down.
I'll be listening to that one.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. That's Frank Anderson. Check out Wisconsinology.com, and I cannot wait to see that Pauly Shore Gallagher stop motion. I don't know if he signed an NDA or if I could have asked him what the project was. Did he say the name of the project, Conrad?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe he couldn't say something. Couldn't say that yet. But anyway, that's Frank Anderson. I also like to thank Don Rosen. Always fun to talk celebrities with Don. And thank you for all your texts. We got one here under the wire. Stacy Sue just got it in. I forgot I met Mrs. Beetle from Little House in the Prairie. That's a great throwback. Jason, Jim Bob, John Boy, Ben, Aaron, Elizabeth, and Mary Ellen from the Waltons. You met all of them, Stacy Sue? They were all like at Golden Corral eating or what? How did that happen? Wow. share that with us. All right. Thanks so much, everybody, for your texts. Thanks for being part of this Tuesday edition of Nightlight. We'll be back tomorrow. Peter Jest will be my guest, and we'll have more fun in the night in Wisconsin. I'm Pete Schwabe. On behalf of Conrad, we'll see you tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin.